You're listening to a message from Redemption Community Church, a life-giving church in Westchester County, New York. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or follow our messages online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. Thanks for listening and enjoy the message.
Well, today is the last day of our 21 days of prayer, and many of us have been fasting. Come on, how many of you this has been good for you? Any of you, this helps you get a good, solid start to the new year. Amen. I hope for many of you, you've experienced some breakthroughs. You've had a greater sense of like just God's presence. There's been some answers to prayer. And so we just want to encourage you, don't let it stop today. Like, keep going strong all year long. I know we've kind of been in this special focus, and some of us have been doing some fasting, and you're ready to start eating again. I get it. But I want to really encourage you to keep going strong all year long. And maybe some of you who experimented with fasting this time around, maybe you want to come back to this. There's a few times a year you might want to do some fasting and prayer, but especially want to encourage all of you to keep up this habit of daily prayer. And here's the other thing. We want to hear from you. Some of you got some breakthroughs. You got some answers to prayer. You got some praise reports. So we want to hear some of those testimonies. So you can email us prayer@redemptioncommunitychurch.org. Send us some of those testimonies so we can celebrate along with you. prayer@redemptioncommunitychurch.org. And let's all give God thanks for this 21 days of prayer and all that God has done. Well, today we are wrapping up the series that we've been in for the past few weeks called Pray First. This has been our rallying cry to start off the new year. And everything, say it with me, we want to pray first. Yes, we want to pray first. And we've got our Pray First bracelets here, many of us, to remind us, to help us to keep going strong. And so here's the big idea for this series that we keep coming back to, okay? Prayer should be our first response, not our last resort. We want prayer to be our first response and not our last resort. In everything we do, we want to bring God into every situation, every part of our lives, and we want to get into this habit of praying first and not making prayer our last response, our last resort. Now, I know that we are approaching the end of January, and by now, many of you, your New Year's resolutions have fallen by the wayside. Let's be honest, by now, you have sorted out what was wishful thinking and what is reality. And so I'm going to help you today. I'm going to be your friend, okay? Anybody want some help? I'm going to help you today because I'm not going to give you a whole bunch of things to focus on. Some of you had all kinds of different resolutions in all kinds of different areas of your life, for your finances, for your relationships, for your dieting, whatever. I'm going to give you just one thing that if you'll embrace, it has the capacity, the potential to impact every area of your life. And here it is. It's develop a habit of daily prayer. The number one thing that you could do that can impact your life, that'll help you grow spiritually, that will, if you grow spiritually, impact every area of your lives, your relationships, your financial decisions, your mental health, every area of your life, is to embrace a habit of daily prayer. Just one thing. And if you'll embrace this one thing, it can really change your life this year. Now, I know that for many of you, prayer is difficult. If I were to survey the audience, how many of you just feel like, you know, your prayer life is just like you give yourself 100, an A+, like you pray so much, you don't even know what to do with yourself. People come up to you and they're like, man, really, you spend too much time in prayer. You ought to find something else to do. How many of you would raise your hand and say, yeah, that's me? Yeah, probably not any of us, I know. Right? Most of us would say, where do I find the time to pray? You know, and prayer is difficult. I've run out of things to say. And, you know, I learned some kind of like childhood prayers when I was a kid, but I don't really know how to pray effectively. And so here's the thing. For many of us, that question, how do we pray effectively, is the same question the disciples were asking Jesus. They had watched Jesus pray, and they saw that he had this intimate relationship with God the Father. He had this like daily routine of prayer. And they noticed that when Jesus prayed, he was getting answers from heaven. Like God was showing up and moving. And so they said, Jesus, teach us to pray. Like John the Baptist taught his disciples to pray. Teach us to pray. And so Jesus did. And we see this in Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 through 13. We see how Jesus responds. It says this, "This then is how you should pray." And he gives them the Lord's Prayer. Read this out loud with me. "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Amen. And so Jesus gives them this powerful prayer which we have come to know as the Lord's Prayer. Many of you, like you learned the Lord's Prayer when you were a kid, like you can pray it from rote memory. You could pray the Lord's Prayer in your sleep. But that wasn't the point, right? Jesus didn't give us this prayer just so we'd have this prayer that we could pray kind of like mindlessly without thinking about what it means. He gave it to the disciples and to us as followers of Christ. He gave it to us as a pattern of prayer, right? Remember, the disciples were saying, teach us to pray. And this is what Jesus did. He's teaching us to pray. So this is a guide. This is a pattern that can help us to pray effectively. Think of it as a model. Now, last week, we studied the Lord's Prayer as a pattern. We started working through it. And I encourage you to take what we learned and bring it into your daily prayers. How many of you did that and it helped you out some? How'd you do it? Did it help you out? Yeah, see hands going up all over the place. Yes, good. That's right. We'll cheer you on. All right. That's great. And that's what we want for you to make this really practical. Now, let me remind you, this pattern that I'm teaching you, it's available in the prayer guides that we gave out at the beginning of the year. We don't have any print copies left, but there's digital copies available on our website. If you go to redemptioncommunitychurch.org/winter, there's several like winter dates there for what's happening in this season of our church. But there you can find a link to download the prayer guide. There's also a kids version that's very interactive for the kids. So if you didn't get that in Redemption Kids, go ahead and head over to the website and download those two digital versions. And you will find in the adult version, you'll find this very pattern that I'm teaching right now from the Lord's Prayer. And so we want to make this really practical and bring this into your daily prayers. This isn't just something I'm teaching you to be inspirational. Like the Lord's Prayer is my go-to like basic guide that helps frame my prayers. And sometimes there's specific things that I have on my mind that I'm praying for. But quite often, like my default, my daily kind of go-to pattern is to pray through the Lord's Prayer. So I know it can really help you pray more effectively. So today we're going to continue. We're going to finish out looking at these elements. We're going to continue looking at these elements of prayer from the Lord's Prayer. And we want to pray more effectively. That's what we're after. We want to have more of a sense of a robust prayer life, that we're praying effectively. We're praying according to God's will. And we want to see answers. Amen. All right, so let me give you a quick recap of what we covered last week. This is a great opportunity to take some notes. If you don't have the Redemption app, you want to get that from the website. You can open up the Redemption app because there's a spot there where you can take notes every week and you can take some notes today. Let's recap what we talked about last week. We looked at the first three elements. Here's the first one. Jesus taught us to pray, our Father in heaven. Our Father in heaven. And we said the first element of prayer here is number one, connect with God relationally. When we pray, we want to connect with God relationally. Jesus taught us to pray, our Father, a revolutionary idea that he's not just an all-knowing, all-powerful being up there somewhere, but we can actually know God as a loving heavenly Father. And so when we pray, we don't go to God like he's some genie in the bottle. We're going to rub the lamp and get three wishes. We go to him knowing that he's our loving heavenly Father. We go in gratitude. We go in love for his grace and his mercy. And let that perspective just begin to shape your prayers and connect with him relationally because he wants to connect with you. Here's the second thing Jesus said, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name. What does that mean? Holy, like your name is holy. It's sacred. Here's the idea. We want to, number two, worship his name. Worship his name. Begin with worship. Recognize who God is, that he's a Father, and then begin with worship. When we think about someone's name, we think about their character. In the Old Testament, God had many different names to represent his character. He was the God who's the mighty warrior, God who's the Savior, God who's the healer. And so you can begin to declare those things. God, you're my righteousness. God, you're my strength. God, you're faithful. God, you're good. You can begin to worship him. And here's what we said happens. As we begin to worship him, God gets bigger and our problems get smaller. Come on. And peace begins to invade your life and you have a sense of his presence and it changes everything. And then here's the next phrase. We all recognize it from the Lord's Prayer. Jesus taught us to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So here's the third idea, and that is pray his agenda first. We want to pray God's agenda first, okay? We're inviting his kingdom to come. What does that mean? Well, God's kingdom, at the center of his kingdom is his rule and his reign. And so, God, we recognize that you rule and reign from heaven, and we recognize that your kingdom in heaven everything is perfect. In heaven, there's no sickness, there's no poverty, there's no injustice, there's no relational brokenness, there's not a bunch of people doing terrible things to each other like we have here on this planet. And so we're praying that your kingdom would come from heaven and invade this earth, invade my life, every area of my life and in the world around me. We want your kingdom to come. And then we're going to pray that your will would be done. We're going to pray your agenda first for your will to come to pass in every area of our lives. And God, if there's some area of our lives where our will doesn't line up with your will, we choose your will. So we're coming into agreement with God. Those are the first three elements we looked at. Now let's continue with this next element. Are you ready to go? All right, get ready to take some notes. Here's the next thing. Pray this out loud with me. Jesus taught us to pray, give us today our daily bread. Yes, give us today our daily bread. Really powerful. Here's the idea. Number four, depend on him for everything. We want to learn in our prayers to depend on him for everything. This is where we go to God with our needs. This is the most natural part of prayer for us, right? We go to God with our needs, with our financial needs, with our relational needs, with our health needs, like whatever our needs are, our worries, our doubts, we go to God and we bring him the desires of our hearts and our needs. But watch something here. This is so powerful. If you follow this pattern, before you get to your needs, you've already established who God is. He's your loving heavenly Father. You know who you're praying to, right? You've gone to him in worship. And so your heart's full of gratitude and God has become bigger and now your problems are smaller and they're in their proper perspective and you're coming into alignment with his will and his kingdom. How many of you think that'll change the way you begin to bring your needs to him? So then you begin to bring your needs. Now things are in proper order and in proper perspective, but there's nothing wrong with bringing him your needs. He's your Father. He wants to know what your needs are. So you begin to bring those things and Jesus taught us to pray. Give us this day our daily bread. Now, that is such a powerful image, daily bread. You know, in Jesus's time in the Middle East, like bread was a staple of people's diet. In fact, I've been to the Holy Land and I've enjoyed bread cooked over an open fire. This is still a part of like, you know, daily staple food in the Middle East. But it's such a powerful image because to me, this is an image of dependence on God. When we pray for daily bread, this is about dependence on God. Why is this? This is such a powerful idea because a big mistake we make is that we often typically only go to God in prayer when we need something. We typically only go to God when we have a problem, when we need something. And here's the problem. It doesn't foster true dependence on God. See, we talked about this a few weeks ago. What happens is we all naturally tend to drift and we forget how dependent we are on him. And we become very self-sufficient, very self-reliant, very dependent on our connections and our career and our ability to make money and our you know, problem-solving abilities until some crisis happens in our lives, like somebody we love gets hurt or is sick or we have some financial, you know, emergency. And then we quickly recognize our dependence on God. If we only go to him when we need something, it doesn't foster true dependence on God. And so here's the solution. And it's really counterintuitive. The solution is for you to pray for what you need even when you don't need it. Amen. Let me say that to you again. This is why Jesus taught us to pray this way. It's really counterintuitive, but it's so powerful. Jesus is teaching us to pray for what we need even when we don't need it. You say, Pastor Jeremy, what does that mean? Well, for most of you to pray for your daily bread, how many of you are wondering where your next meal is coming from? I mean, come on, some of you are going to leave here, you're going to go to a nice restaurant, you're going to go home, have a meal, whatever. Not many people in here, you know, we're blessed. Not many people in here, you're worried about where your next meal is coming from. Yet Jesus taught us to pray for our daily bread. Why is that? Because when we pray that way, it communicates to God, everything I have is because of you and everything I need is from you. You're the one who gives me my daily bread and my trust is in you. And it's powerful. And I'll tell you another thing it begins to do when you pray this way, it begins to put your needs in perspective. God, if you've taken care of me all my life, God, if you've gotten me this far, if you've fed me and clothed me and I've got some money in the bank and I got a roof over my head, surely God, you're going to take care of this need that I have in my life. Surely you're going to help this loved one who's going through a difficult time. God, surely you're going to help me through this financial problem. God, surely you're going to give me the wisdom that I'm crying out for. And so I've just learned to pray that way. When I get to this part, sure, I have needs just like you. But as I pray through those needs, I just begin to recount God's faithfulness. God, thank you. God, everything I have is from you. God, you're my provider. God, you're the one who put the clothes on my back. You're the one who's given me health and you've given me finances. And God, you've provided. And God, I'm trusting you for these things. So it's really powerful. When we pray this way, we begin to depend on God. We foster a true dependence on him for everything. All right, we're going to pray this next part. Here's the next thing that Jesus taught us to pray. He taught us to pray, read it out loud with me. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Come on, we got to pray that again like the caffeine has kicked in. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Yeah, much better. This is powerful. Some of you learn, forgive us our trespasses, right? As we forgive those who have trespassed against us. People who came on my property and trespassed against me and didn't have no business getting up in my face. That's the ghetto version. There you go. All right. Forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. Here's the fifth idea. Get your heart right with God and people. Get your heart right with God and with people. This is so powerful because there's two things that can really clog up the spiritual pipes of your heart. Number one is guilt. This is unconfessed sin. It can really just kind of get into the pipes of the spiritual pipes of your heart and kind of clog you up spiritually to where you don't feel connected to God. And then the other thing is hurt. We carry around like unforgiveness and hurt with other people, and it can just clog up the spiritual pipes of our heart. And so we wanna get our hearts right with God and with people. So let's look at this. The first part, get your heart right with God. This is forgive us our debts. God, search our hearts. God, forgive us of our sins. Our debts are our sins. And so this is where you pray, God, search my heart. God, search my heart. Now, as you begin to pray this part, it's very natural to be mindful of your sins, right? Like a lot of times we go to God and this is where we begin to ask for forgiveness. And we're very mindful, like, okay, God, forgive me for saying this thing that I shouldn't have said to this person, and forgive me for losing my patience. And I looked at that thing I shouldn't have looked at. And you just kind of go through your list of things you need to confess. But often when you ask God to search your heart, the Holy Spirit will do something. He'll begin to show you some things that you didn't even know were there. He'll begin to reveal things like you're carrying around some stuff you didn't even know were there. And so you want to get your heart right with God and kind of unclog yourself spiritually. And here's the beautiful thing. Here's what the scripture says in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. It says this, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Now, here's what's beautiful about this. I love that it doesn't say if we confess our sins, God will hold our sins over our head. He'll guilt trip us and he'll throw our mistakes in our face. No, it says that he's faithful and just and will forgive us of our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Come on, God doesn't do to us what people do to us. He doesn't hold our sins against us. And so when we go to him, we can get our hearts right with him. And then here's the second thing we want to focus on, and that is to get your heart right with people. Get your heart right with people, right? Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Now, this to me is so powerful. Debt, this imagery and this analogy of debt is so powerful to me because really to forgive someone is to release them from the debt that they owe you. See, it's really not as easy as forgive and forget. Debt's a powerful image because in a sense, when someone hurts you, they really do owe you. Let's be honest for a moment. That dad who walked out on you when you were a kid should have been there for you. That boss who passed over you for that promotion when you worked really hard for it and you deserve it, they shouldn't have done that to you. That person who did you wrong in that business partnership and who cheated you, they really do owe you in a sense. And so forgiveness is to release the debt. The biblical idea of forgiveness, it's release. In fact, Jesus taught a famous parable on this, the parable of the unmerciful servant. And he used the same idea. This servant was forgiven this astronomical amount of money that he owed to the king. The king had like this astronomical amount. The king had mercy on him, forgave him. And then he turns around and bumps into another fellow servant who owed him a very small amount and he couldn't forgive him. And Jesus makes a really powerful point. If you can't forgive your brother or your sister who sinned against you, then you can't receive the forgiveness of God. And here's the other idea. If you can't forgive others, you probably haven't really received the forgiveness of God. You may have thought you received it, but you probably really didn't get it in your heart. Is this helping you? Are you getting this? You got to unclog those spiritual pipes. And so what happens is when you release someone else, you end up releasing yourself from bitterness. The theologian and great teacher, Professor Lewis Smead said to forgive is to release a prisoner and to, in doing so, realize that the prisoner was you. In releasing the other person, you end up finding out that you release yourself from the bitterness and the hurt that you were carrying around with you. So this is so powerful. This is so powerful to get your heart right with God and with people. Okay, here's the next thing Jesus taught us to pray. Read this out loud. Pray this out loud with me. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Now, this is really not the best translation in the English because we know that God is not the one who leads us into temptation, right? We know that temptation comes from the evil one. God is the one who delivers us from temptation. So in the original Greek, the New Testament was actually written in Greek. It's literally more like this. Do not allow me to be led into temptation. In fact, Pope Francis back in 2017 suggested that maybe we need to update the language of the Lord's Prayer, and it kind of raised some controversy, but he was right on, and he suggested we should pray, do not let us fall into temptation, because that really captures the idea in the original language, right? Do not allow me to fall into temptation. This is the recognition in our prayers, God, today I'm going to face temptation from the evil one, and God, I need your help. God, I need you to deliver me. God, it's not if, it's when. At some point in time today, God, I'm going to experience temptation and I need your help. As you begin to pray at the beginning of the day, like for some of you, let's just bring this into everyday real life. For some of you on the way to work and like you're going into a really difficult atmosphere, like, God, I'm going into an atmosphere today and I'm going to be around some coworkers that I don't get along with and a supervisor who drives me nuts. And I want to give everybody a piece of my mind today. So I'm asking you to deliver me from temptation. Amen. All right. Some of you guys, come on, man, I want to talk to you for just a moment. You're going to get out and you're going to go for a prayer walk in the neighborhood and you're going to say, God, today I'm going out for my prayer walk like we've been talking about, but I know at some point in time in my prayer walk, jogger girl is going to come by in spandex and God, I'm asking you to deliver me from evil. Let's be real. Some of you, you've been fasting, you've been praying, you're trying to eat healthier, you're trying to take care of your body, which is the temple of the Holy Spirit, but you know when you go in the employee break room to get a cup of coffee, there's gonna be some pizza up in there, and you need to pray, God, deliver me from evil. Can I get an amen, somebody? Come on, it's not a matter of if, it's when. And so we wanna get prayed up. So let's get serious for a moment, okay? Let's get serious for a moment. Here's number six, here's the principle. Engage in spiritual warfare. Engage in spiritual warfare. You say, what does that mean, Pastor Jeremy? Well, let's look at what the Apostle Paul had to say in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. Here's what the Apostle Paul said. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. The Apostle Paul saying, your struggle in many ways is not against flesh and blood. Like you human beings, you know, you live in this earthly world and you always think that your problems are with people, but some of your problems are of a spiritual nature. Some of the battles you're fighting, some of the struggles you're experiencing, some of the fights that you're fighting, they're of more of a spiritual nature than you realize. And you don't fight a spiritual battle with natural tactics. You need to do some spiritual warfare. Now, you guys know I'm a keep it real preacher, all right? This doesn't mean you can blame all of your problems on the devil, okay? We have a sinful nature, and we're perfectly capable of making bad decisions. I saw a Facebook meme one time that said, everything happens for a reason. Sometimes the reason is because you're stupid and you make bad decisions. So true, right? Like, you can't blame all of your problems on the devil. We're all capable of making plenty of bad decisions, okay? If your car runs out of gas, don't call me and say, Pastor Jimmy, pray for me. The devil's attacking me. I'm going to say, quit being stupid. Put some gas in your car. So not all of your problems can be blamed on the enemy, but here's the reality. Many of our problems are more of a spiritual nature than we realize. There's a spiritual struggle going on. I would put it this way. You were born on a battlefield. There is a war going on in the heavenlies and the cosmic realms between good and evil. We see this all throughout Scripture. And the enemy of your soul wants to take you out. It's the enemy of your soul that wants to cause you to ruin your marriage, cause you to ruin your relationship with your kids. It's the enemy of your soul that wants you to make really bad financial decisions so that you end up in a whole bunch of consumer debt, stressed out, and your finances are all messed up. It's the enemy of your soul that wants you to stay locked up in the same old negative patterns of thinking and the same old destructive habits and behaviors, addictive behaviors that are keeping you from becoming everything that God has for you because he knows that God has so much more for you. And so many times your struggle is more of a spiritual nature than you realize. And for some of you, the enemy is working harder to destroy you than you're working to keep it from happening. And it's time to get serious about that thing that the Holy Spirit's showing you like right now at this point in time in the message. It's time to get serious and to get prayed up. And this doesn't have to be something weird. You say, well, Pastor Jeremy, what does that look like? Spiritual warfare. This doesn't have to be weird. It just looks like this. Every day when you get up, you begin to pray for God's protection, for his grace to cover your life. God, don't let me fall into temptation, but deliver me. God, I know that today I'm gonna face some situations, but I'm asking for your grace to cover me. I'm asking for your protection. See, I've learned to pray a prayer that I read a quote from C.S. Lewis one time, and it stuck with me. And it's influenced this prayer. And here's my prayer. God, apart from your grace and your mercy today, I'm capable of the grossest sin. Because I'm a human being, right? Come on, I know for some of you, like, wow, it's so true, right? God, apart from your grace today, I'm capable of anything. God, apart from your grace today, I'm capable of telling anybody off. I'm capable of messing this whole thing up. See, what can happen is you can begin your day with prayer and you're feeling so close to God, right? And you're worshiping. Some of you are going to begin with worship, like, even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You got your little spiritual happy dance going and you're feeling like you can take out the world, but you got to be careful because you're dependent dependent on his grace, because before you even get out the door, you can get into a shouting match with your spouse or your kids, or you can curse somebody out in traffic on the way to work and mess the whole thing up. And some of y'all, it happened to you on the way to church today. Let's keep it real. Can I get an amen, somebody? And so we're praying with dependence on God's grace. But here's the good thing, okay? We pray from a place of victory. It's not really about your strength. It's really not about you being victorious. Jesus is victorious. Jesus said, in this world, you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome this world. And so you begin to pray, God, it's not about me. God, it's not. I need your grace. I need your strength. But God, I thank you. Jesus, I thank you that you overcame death, hell, the grave. You overcame temptation. You've lived a perfect life on my behalf. The same spirit that rose you from the dead is the same spirit on the inside of me. And so I'm trusting in you. I'm trusting in you, God. There's nothing I can't overcome without you. I don't have to be the same person. I don't have to be bound by the same old things. I'm walking in new life in victory. We pray from a place of victory. But we want to be prayed up. We want to be aware, right, that at any point in time during the day, we could face some spiritual battle. All right, is this helping anybody? Is this good?
Yes.
Okay, here's the next thing, okay, the final thing. Come on, pray this out loud with a little bit of gusto like we believe it. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now notice how Jesus brings the prayer full circle. It started by getting your eyes on God as your Father and worshiping him, and he comes back full circle, right? For yours is the kingdom. God, it's about your rule and your reign coming into my life, into my world, every area of my life, God. And yours is the power. Like, I don't have the power, but you do. There's nothing that's too difficult for you. You're all powerful, God. You've got this, and you've got me. You've got my family. And yours is the glory forever. Come on, any breakthrough I have today, God, I give back to you. Any good gift you give me, I give back to you. I turn it into praise so it doesn't turn into pride. I remember that it came from you, and God, I give you the glory. I live for an audience of one, for your glory, God. And so here's the principle, number 7, express faith in God's ability. We want to pray like we're expressing faith in God's ability. Like, none of this that I'm praying for is possible for me, God, but with you, all things are possible, God. Nothing is impossible with you. In fact, here's what Jeremiah said, the prophet Jeremiah 32, 17. He prayed this, "Ah, sovereign Lord, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm." Read this out loud with me. Nothing is too hard for you. Nothing is too hard for you. What if you begin to pray that way? God, nothing is too hard for you. God, you've got this. I'm praying like I believe that you can do this. God, I don't have the answers. I don't understand the way forward, but God, nothing is too hard for you. God, I got this family member who's going through this crisis, and right now, God, it looks impossible. It looks like there's no way out, but God, nothing is too impossible for you. Nothing's too hard for you, God. God, right now I have this unexpected financial need, and I'm not even sure what to do, how I'm going to pay for it, but God, I trust in you, and nothing is too hard for you. God, I got this report from the doctor. It's really got me nervous. It's got me fearful, but God, I thank you that you're my healer, and nothing is too hard for you. Come on, God, you can, there's nothing. God, you're able to do immeasurably more than all I could ask or imagine, and nothing is too hard for you. God, I need wisdom. I don't know the path forward. I'm not sure how to do this, but God, I thank you that nothing is too hard for you. How would it change your prayers if you begin to pray that way? See, I said this in week 1, and I want to come back to it. Never, never limit your prayers because you think you're sinful or undeserving or you're weak or whatever. Sometimes we do that. Never limit your prayers because you feel like you're undeserving. You're not praying because of who you are. You're praying because of who he is. And sometimes that's a mental blockage for us. In fact, it even keeps us from prayer, because we kind of have this sense of like, I have to go to God and turn myself in again. Like, here I am again, Lord. Same old failure, same old mistake, gave into the same old temptation, same old pattern, same old negative thinking I'm dealing with. And so we feel like we can't even pray. But the reality is, you're not praying because of who you are. You're praying because of who he is. And so we express faith in his ability, that nothing is too difficult for him. And we begin to pray that way. And I'm telling you, if you would pray that way, it would change your prayers. It would change your prayers. Think about what you're facing right now. Think about what your needs are right now. What if you really prayed with faith in God's ability to do what's impossible to us? And so I want to remind you, this has really been our heart this whole month, that the number one thing that will help you grow spiritually, that will impact every area of your life, is to develop a habit of daily prayer, just to commune with God, just to talk to God, just to invite God into everything, to pray first, just a few minutes a day. Some of you, you've been doing this these past few weeks and you're seeing the difference it's making in your life. I know for me, it's been like a reset button just these first few weeks of the year, just dedicating some time to prayer and fasting. It will help you because you'll get closer to God. And if you get closer to God, you'll have more of a sense of His will and His presence and a sense that He's working in your life. And it'll affect every area, every need you have, every desire of your heart, every decision you're trying to make, every anxiety, every fear. Some of you, you're going through some stuff right now. Some of you, like, you're carrying some things that you were never meant to carry on your own. Like, you've been trying for so hard to change on your own. You've been throwing your best effort at it, and you feel like you always come up short. And I want to just tell you this morning, you were never meant to do this on your own. Part of prayer is inviting God to do it with you, inviting God into your everyday life. You weren't meant to do it on your own. I want to stand here and testify that I wouldn't be here at this moment teaching you these very principles if I hadn't learned to pray this way. Because I've gone through some seasons in life where all I could do is pray, where all I could do is worship. I've shared before, but I think about a time back in 2014 when I was going through one of the most difficult years of my life. We had moved to Westchester and we were laying the foundation for this church. And some of you know our story, and we didn't have anybody. We were here alone, and I was facing so much pressure, so much financial pressure, so much fear about providing for my own family. Had no idea how to move this thing forward, how to get things going in the right direction. I felt lost, and every day I was waking up with so much stress, so much anxiety. I felt like there was literally a weight on my chest, and I didn't know what to do. And I would go to the end of my street in my neighborhood, and I would go to the Catholic church there, and I would go and pray. And I remember one day sitting in a pew just crying out to God, saying, God, I can't do this without you. God, I can't do this without you. I don't know how to move forward. I don't know what's next. God, I need you. God, I cannot do this without you. And I remember having just an overwhelming sense that God was with me and His presence was there. And it didn't mean that everything was solved overnight, but I knew that God was with me, and it became a foundation, a stronghold for my life. And I've gone back to that time. I've gone back to that pew many times and said, God, you met me in that pew. God, you were there in my time of need when I learned to cry out to you. And I want to tell you something. I never want to lose that dependence. Amen. I never want to lose that dependence now. Every day, God, everything I have is from you. God, what you've done in my life. God, this church. God, the breakthroughs, the provision. God, everything I have is from you, and everything that I can give back is for you. My life for your glory. And God, I want you in all of it. God, I'm dependent. I don't want to do it without you. Come on, we don't want to go through another year. We don't want to drift. We don't want to be distracted. God, we want you at the center of it all. Amen? Come on, let's pray into this. Why don't you stand with me? We're going to ask God to help us. And our prayer, it's really simple. It's the same prayer that the disciples prayed. It's the same request they had for Jesus. Teach us to pray. God, teach us to pray. Lord, in our weakness, you're strong. In the times where we drift, when we forget to pray, Holy Spirit, bring it back to our remembrance. Teach us to pray. God, we want you in every area of our lives. We want to talk to you, want to commune with you, want to sense that you're just with us. Would you pray with me if that's you? Maybe you want to bow your head. Some of you, I ask everybody to bow your head. Some of you want to just lift your hands. Maybe you want to just lift your hands as a sign of surrender, as a sign of saying, God, I'm open to you. God, that's my heart's desire. Hands going up all over this place. Just bow your heads. Lord, today, we thank you for your goodness and your faithfulness. And Lord, we pray the same prayer that the disciples prayed. Teach us to pray, God. Teach us to pray. Draw us to yourself, God. Draw us closer to you. God, in the times when we forget, we pray for the simple whisper of the Holy Spirit to draw us back to you. When we worry, when we doubt, when we fear, when our minds race, God, bring us back to you, that we would pray first. That, God, we would invite you into every area of our lives. God, we don't want to do life without you. God, we don't want to go through this next year without you. But God, we're inviting you to come into every part of our lives, God. That your kingdom would come, that your will would be done in our lives. Everything would be for you. For yours is the kingdom. For yours is the power. For yours is the glory. Forever and ever. In Jesus' name, if you believe it, would you say amen? Amen.
Thanks for tuning into our podcast. If you'd like to connect with us or learn more about our church, please visit us online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. We hope you can listen or join us next week.